Blog Talk Radio.
Well, shalom, shalom. This is Olive Branch Ministries, and we are coming to you live from our studio in Acworth, Georgia. And the name of our program is Late Night in the Word. We thank you for listening. You're on Blog Talk Radio. Hopefully, that's where we're broadcasting. We're also simulcasting through our website at www.olivebranchonline.org. That's www.olivebranchonline.org. So if you're interested, you can check us out there. We have a phone number tonight. It's 631-533-4099, and we would love to get your phone calls tonight and find out what you're thinking about, what's on your heart, if you got any questions, something in Scripture you're looking at that you'd love to quiz us with. I got a full studio tonight. I have Robert Rodriguez back in town.
Shalom.
Glad to have you back. And Brandon Wheeler.
Shalom, shalom.
And pretty soon, I'm sure, we will have Avery here joining us as well. So lots of opportunities for answers to questions if you have prayer requests, anything going on. We're going to do something a little different tonight that I just have on my heart to do. And this is kind of in response to today's activity in Chattanooga, Tennessee, where four United States Marines were gunned down by a average Muslim, as the headline says, from a Tennessee resident from Kuwait, came from an average Muslim family. But there is some interesting facts that I'm going to read off to you here about Islam. We are, 29 days from the end of Ramadan, there have been 291 attacks in the name of Islam. There have been zero attacks in the name of any other religion. And there have been 56 suicide bombings, zero in the name of any other religion. 2,765 bodies that are dead now, zero in the name of any other religion. 3,271 wounded in these attacks, zero in the name of any other religion. This is amazing. Here is another set of facts. The month of June, 262 jihad attacks in 29 countries, 2,426 dead bodies, 2,582 critically injured. This is from the Religion of Peace. On July 16th, what's today? The 16th?
Yeah, today's the 16th.
July 16th in Afghanistan, two children were among eight people massacred during a Taliban ambush. In Baga, Nigeria, yesterday, eight civilians were summarily shot in the back of the head by Sharia activists. Yesterday in Syria, eight civilians were crucified by the caliph for breaking Ramadan fasting rules. So even if you're in Islam, you are not out of the way of harm. Wow. The 14th, this would be Tuesday in Chad, a nation within Africa. Islamists reach an island community and massacre six children. On the 13th, this would be Monday, in Afghanistan again, a father and son are aerated Religion of Peace ball bearings, which means they were destroyed. They were killed by a suicide bomb. Nigeria, a Shahid suicide bomber hits a checkpoint screening children and civilians, killing four. This is astounding. I really think that we're going to be a little more combative in bringing this out every time we're on the radio, so that you're hearing it and you don't get hypnotized by this culture like so many people, and they avoid the reality, because this kind of stuff is not communicated in the news in any way, shape, or form. Here's another stat. Islamic terrorists have carried out more than 26,424 deadly terror attacks since 9/11 in 2001. That's quite a bit. Over and over, I think we just need to be very aware of what's happening. If we were to go into what's happening with Iran, what's happening in the EU with Greece, what's happening with the Russians and the Chinese, what's happening in this country, especially in the border with the states. Some of the states, we heard this week that Mississippi has decided to fight to get prayer back in their schools. They're trying to pass a amendment to their state constitution. I was hearing the other day that there's stuff going on in North Dakota, and they're taking a stand against the Federal Reserve, trying to come up with their own banking system that will alleviate some of the problems with debt. Texas, of course, is leading the way in terms of having to fight against the illegal immigration problem. Same with Arizona. Everywhere you turn, not to mention the racial tension in the country, the religious tension in the country, the financial tension in the country. We have a president who would prefer to have destruction on every level. And I don't, that's something I still find hard to believe. But if you pay attention to how things move in this country with this particular president, there's a group of people in this country who would prefer that the United States does not exist. There's a Pope out there who's saying crazy things as well. What's he say this week? He said the capitalistic system is a curse and it's brought destruction to the earth. And we're just being, as Pastor Weintraub is constantly saying, the nations are like chess pieces and the board is being established for the War of Armageddon. All these different nations and who they represent in the past and the history of the world, especially if you compare it to the statue in Daniel and the five or I think it's seven different nations that would rise up after Nebuchadnezzar. We are in a unique moment in time. There's nobody. The more I talk to people, the more I hear something crazy is going on in the earth. We're in a very unique moment. And there's no doubt you need to be on alert. Pastor Weintraub was sitting here right before we got on the air, and he said in kind of a response to Brandon that things are changing every single day now. Something is taking place every single day. If you are not on guard and you are not paying attention, it could cost you. One of the things that we've been looking at, I want to turn to Luke 8, because this is something that we have been studying on Tuesday nights about hearing. And I think one of the things that we were reading, we're just going to hit some of these verses here. We were started in chapter 8 in verse 4. And when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spoke by a parable. Now, Robert, I'll just have you continue to read that.
A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away, because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it, and choked it. And other fell on good ground, and sprang up, and bare fruit, an hundredfold. And when he said these things, he cried, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear."
When we, you know, I think for me, I'm at a place where I think that we have to be much less intellectual with the Bible and much more honest with who and what Jesus is doing, who he is, what he represents, what he's doing, and why he's saying what he's saying. I do not believe personally that anybody in the Bible is trying to establish theology and doctrine for the sake of intellectual exercise. I think they are serious about loving God. And you cannot separate in the Bible hearing from loving. If you're loving, you're hearing. If you're hearing, you're loving. Activity of hearing produces the action of loving, and the action of loving produces the hearing. When it comes to this parable, one of the things that I really appreciate, this is Tuesday night, that I really appreciate, I'd like to get you guys' thoughts on this, let you speak a little bit. I thought, and I was passing this by Pastor Weintraub, because I don't know if I'd heard it this way. Many times this parable is spoken in the Christian circle, and all of us are sitting there as believers trying to figure out what kind of Christian hearer we are. And I don't know if Jesus is fully communicating it this way. Jesus is in the middle of a mixed multitude of people. Some of them are Jewish, some of them are Roman Greek. Some of them are Pharisees, some of them are Sadducees. Some of them are disciples, some of them are just simple citizens of Israel. Some of them are traveling salesmen from other countries. Some of them, who knows, there's soldiers and children and old people and young people and middle-aged people, families and singles, and a whole gamut of society is listening to him speak. Some that acknowledge God, some that don't acknowledge God, some that have covenant determination, others that could care less. And these are the kinds of people that he's speaking to. And the challenge, remember, and I think it's taken a long time for me to get out of church mentalities and into kingdom realities. Jesus is in a kingdom. He's speaking through the kingdom with the authority of the kingdom, trying to draw people into the kingdom. His whole reference point is kingdom. And when he's saying this parable, he's speaking about kingdom life. So if we're hearing, the hearing is, do you see this parallel reality moving in the midst of you? And if you do, then there's a response. And here's what is going on. There's four types of people. And the question for the crowd, not the question for the 200 people sitting in the church auditorium, the question for the crowd that Jesus is speaking to is, what kind of person are you in your response to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? What do you think, Avery? Is that close?
Well, I was there Tuesday night, and I had kind of a Greek moment when I ask a question about that, because, you know, some would say, well, yeah, I'm one of those hearers that has stony places, but at least I'm not the wayside believer.
Right.
Or I'm one of those
I remember that
has thorns, but at least I don't have the stony places and I'm not a wayside believer. But really, Jesus is really appealing to saying, okay, if you're anything other than the good soil that's producing fruit, then wake up.
Yep.
What do you think, Robert?
I thought it was pretty profound what, you know, Pastor was teaching on Tuesday night, because certainly he offered some different perspectives, or, you know, the way he presented it certainly got us all thinking. As we look at this parable, and especially at the end, when he says, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." In the Amplified, it says, "Let him be listening, and let him consider and understand by hearing." And it goes back to the scripture that says, you know, that we're supposed to be doers of the word, not just hearers only. So it's not just about hearing, it's about doing, but it's also about understanding what we're hearing and listening. So there's a huge challenge here to be, you know, to be the type of listener, to be the type of disciple that that we should be. I think it's very apropos, especially to the time and today, as well as back then, that people were trying to be obedient for obedience sake. And his directive is very clear. It's not just doing it, just listening for listening's sake. Anybody can do that. It's what you do with the word, speaking in terms of sowing.
And that's, I'm glad you're saying that, because I was going to go one place, and now you're making me want to go another place.
As you're turning the pages, kind of what I hear with what Robert's saying is obedience is a reward, because when you're obedient, you're avoiding consequences. But Jesus says, you know, you're only doing what was expected of you.
The other version of this parable in Matthew says, those, as far as the good ground, it said those spring up, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Some will do more than what's expected.
True. When 1 John chapter 1, verse 1, is such a powerful verse to me. We've been looking at this on our TV program for Honduras, and I'm blown away by this verse. You know, sometimes I used to laugh, having walked with Pastor Weintraub for so long now, almost 20 years. I used to laugh because we would start studies and series in these different books, and he would spend weeks and weeks and weeks on the first verse of the book. I said, man, let's move on to the second verse. And he would always come back, no, there's so much to get out of this first verse. And here I am, I'm stuck on the first verse. I can't get off of it. He's saying such a profound thing. That which was from the beginning, which we heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the word of life. Now, I don't know how loud I could shout to make everybody hear this, but I wish it was possible. Jesus did not come to establish a static, stoic volume of books that you can't interrelate with. He didn't come to establish stale theologies and philosophical statements. And that's how I see a lot of philosophy, is man's thoughts. They were written down, and maybe you take them, maybe you don't, but maybe you didn't even like the guy Sophocles, or maybe the guy named what's another philosopher? Just left my mind.
Socrates.
Milo.
Plato.
That's the one that was kind of ringing around in my head.
Yeah, Plato was a big one in that time.
Yeah. You know, they wrote their stuff. It appealed to the mind, but then it's forgettable. Jesus isn't forgettable because Jesus came to be handled. He came to live with the people and show you a life, not just tell you about life. And that's what philosophy does. Philosophy likes to tell you about life, tell you about things maybe you should think about, and, oh, how did it all start, and, oh, why are we here, and these. And Jesus isn't there. Jesus says, I am, and now I'm with you. Let's fellowship together. And, oh, by the way, let me show you some things about how to have a more impactful life on the earth as you walk with the Father. Beautiful. I can deal with that because I'm simple. I don't need a lot. I'm not out there trying to solve the world's problems and, you know, fly a rocket to the moon or get a spaceship to Mars or go to discover the undiscovered country or build 5,000 houses and make $1,000,000,000,000. I'm not interested. I like to sit on a chair and watch the sun go down. That's easy. It's not complex. I like to hear the word of God taught accurately and sit and study and sit around people who really love his kingdom and watch Jesus heal people. That's simple. It's impactful. It's relational. It's not trying to, you know, sew a bunch of stuff into my head that I can't even comprehend. John, I like John. I like him. The more I read him, the more I like him because he was simple with Jesus too. He was just right next to him. I just want to be with you. Is that okay with you? Yeah, okay with me. I like it. Let's have a relationship. Amen. Let's have a relationship. I think that's the essence of what's going on in Luke chapter 8. And I think we've made it so complex. We've made it, you know, am I or am I not? And I think, Avery, it comes down to the simple answer. Like you said, if you're not, then change. And let's get good ground going on so we can have better relationship with each other.
Yeah. And we have to always remember that God is appealing to our spirit, not our intellect. Because our intellect has to do with our soul. And a response is required there, but that's not where we live. That's part of the whole package. Jesus is saying, okay, I'm coming to you in the spirit and I'm appealing to your spirit.
Well, I think that's where it has to be. Otherwise, when the challenge of the life he lives comes, if you don't have that connection, you will be offended by what he asks you to do. And you will be,
right?
Because he's going to take you into realms of transformation that you can't comprehend. You know, we don't think about this. Let's look at this visual picture. You go to the earth in Genesis chapter 1, and the earth had to go through some massive changes. I mean, the scripture says, well, I think it's the second day, he separated the waters from the land. Well, what was that like? I mean, was that like just like instantaneous, or did the plates have to move and the water had to gush and mountain plates had to ram together and mountains had to be formed and
geysers and volcanoes?
I mean, was that like a major event, this movement of the water separating from the earth? It wasn't just like, ping, it's done. No, I think the Lord had to put his activity on the earth and the spirit moved the things to move around. And that was great release of tension and problem. But it's no different than labor. A child is about to be born. It's a very difficult event, but look what comes out of it. I think it's the same way. I think to come out of the world and move into the kingdom is not simple.
No.
In any way, shape, or form. And any pastor or any evangelist who's communicating something other than that is lying to people.
Yeah.
The gospel isn't about the ease of the process.
Yeah. We think of an interaction between Jesus and people as, like, we would score it. We would say, okay, those who are smiling and laughing and didn't get offended, they're in the good place. And those who got offended and are bent out of shape are the ones that are in the bad place. But in all actuality, the ones who got offended are the ones who actually are in position to get the most benefit out of what Jesus is saying. Because it is disturbing them, that means there's something going on inside.
Yeah.
Now, part of the problem is that the devil is taught in the teaching of the training of this world that the worst thing that could possibly happen is for you to be uncomfortable. And so most people at the point of beginning to become offended, that's when you stick the arm up. It's like, don't tell me anymore. You're offending me. Stop. You know,
well, there's this huge movement years ago. If it feels good, do it. If it feels good. In other words, if it doesn't feel good, stay away from it. And that's when the biggest growth happens.
Yeah. And if you're trying to sponsor something like that around me, we're going to have a problem, you and me. If you're honest, if you're a believer that's honest about the Bible, really honest about it. I mean, I'm conversing with someone right now that is enjoying some transformation, and it's beautiful to watch. The person is very excited, but he has somebody in his life that he's communicating with, and that person is not taking it too well. And it's interesting to watch the struggle that the other person is going through. My friend here, he's communicating, hey, there's some things wrong in how we're looking at the Bible. And he's not opposed to making changes. The other person is. And it's causing some tension. And I'm just looking at that and saying, this is exactly what we have seen over and over and over and over and over again. If you dare, as a Christian, to challenge that maybe we see the Bible blindly. We're done with blog text, so join us over at www.olivebranchonline.org.
Goodbye, Blood Talk.
Our phone number is 631-533-4099. We want to thank you for joining us. It's the top of the hour.